Welcome to PTW Office Hours, where we invite authors, writers, publishing professionals to have casual conversations around craft. Grab your journal, a cup of tea or coffee, and get ready to take notes. This is PTW Office Hours, brought to you by Permission to Write.
Hey everyone, I am very excited to be back with another episode of PTW Office Hours. I hope that y'all have been enjoying like doing these solo pods where I'm literally just talking into the ethos and then also our amazing guests. And so I'm very excited, specifically as we're talking about the importance of community, to actually have someone else talking with me about this idea around the importance of community as writers. So I'm very thrilled to have our guest, Javacia Harris-Bowser of C. Jane Wright. Just anecdotally, I feel like we met briefly in person at like a Blogalicious, I feel like, when that was a thing.
So long ago.
I know, so long ago. But I feel like at least ever since then, I've just watched, you know, from afar. There's just so many people that come from the blogging community that I'm always just like cheering on and really watching from afar. And so C. Jane Wright is just such an awesome community, which she's going to tell you about in just a second. But I did want to kind of kick us off talking about this quote from Toni Morrison that really grounds a lot of the work that we do, quite frankly, in the Permission to Write community. It's literally like a North Star, essentially, for the work that we do here. And it says that the truth is, an author's work is not merely competitive. As strong as competition is, it is not nearly as strong or as needed as community. And that is from our wonderful writing fairy godmother, Toni Morrison. And I agree, we're like, competition helps to like challenge us. And, you know, I feel like we just go way farther when we actually are in community with one another. So I am looking forward to just chatting more about it. So I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk about this. This is a topic that I'm extremely passionate about. So I'm very excited to talk more about it.
Cool. So yeah, I guess getting into it, tell us a little bit more about C. Jane Wright and how that came about and how you've really developed this membership community for women who write and blog.
So C. Jane Wright, as you said, is a membership community for women who write and blog. It started in 2011 and it did not start out as a paid membership or business or anything like that. I just wanted to hang out with other women writers. That's all I wanted. So I just found a bunch of women writers in Birmingham. So I'm based in Birmingham, Alabama. You can probably hear my accent. I had just moved back to Birmingham. So I'm from Birmingham originally. I was living in Louisville, Kentucky, where I was working as a newspaper reporter. Moved back to Birmingham to teach. But I knew that I wanted to continue to write as well. But I also knew, talking about community, I knew that it was going to be very difficult to juggle teaching and writing. And I knew that it would be easier to do that if I had a community of people kind of cheering me on and holding me accountable. So I kept looking for a women's writing group and I couldn't find one. So everyone kept telling me, well, you should just start one. And I was like, I don't want to do all that. I just want to join one. So for 2 years, I was looking for one and couldn't find one. So finally, in 2011, I was like, okay, I'll start one. And so it started out as just me reaching out to a bunch of women, inviting them to meet me for tacos because I love Mexican food. So I invited them to meet me for tacos and we're chatting about our writing projects, our writing goals, what they would want out of a writing group. And then one of the members or one of the people sitting there was talking about Twitter and how Twitter can be very useful for writers. Remember, this was 2011, so Twitter wasn't, you know, as big as it is now. And so other women at the table were like, oh, Twitter's dumb. I don't want to do anything on Twitter. But then most of the women were like, oh, you know, I don't use it, but I'm interested in learning more. So they turned to me and they said, Javacia, can our next event be a workshop on Twitter? And I was like, Oh, next event. I hadn't thought that far ahead, but okay. So the next event was a workshop on Twitter. And so that first meeting, there were about 12 women there. Second meeting, the workshop on Twitter, there were 40. Then someone or lots of someone's wanted a panel, or they wanted something about blogging. So I did a panel discussion on blogging and 75 people showed up. And I was like, oh, so I might be onto something here. So, yeah. You know, I just kept hosting these events. But again, Sojourner Right was not a business at this point. So I wasn't charging for anything and I was paying for everything out of pocket. So my very frugal husband was like, I'm going to need you to do something about this because you are draining our savings account. And so that's why I decided to make it an LLC, really just so that I could charge for events, just so that I could at least break even. But then as it kept growing, I developed the membership program and I also do coaching, group coaching and one-on-one coaching. And so it's turned into a full-fledged business now. So
I love that. There's just so many parallels, just so many great things in there that I, you know, feel like I'm latching onto, like this idea of we really have to create the things that we hope to see, right? Mm-hmm. Like that sometimes we can't look for, you know, other people to do it, as nice as that would be, you know, because it takes so much work to, you know, start a community like this. And to your point, that was the same exact reason we started a paid membership at Permission to Write, was because I was like, oh, I can't keep paying for this, you know, all the things that you have to pay for, a website and email hosting. And like, these are costs that add up that sometimes you don't think about when your heart is just in the right place, right? You're just like, I want to help people and I want to build community. But you're like, oh, these things cost money and they start to add up. And, you know, I think it probably says something too, when like your members are able and want to invest in themselves, right? Because I think there's a certain level that kind of comes with that. When you know that you've paid for something, I feel like you kind of value it a bit and it's right. A little bit more applicable to you. So tell me a little bit about, and I, because I feel like I probably should have asked this first, but you know, whatever. We'll kind of mix it up. What I guess brought you even to that point? So tell me a little bit about your kind of background, even just as a writer. So you were already a writer when you were looking for community in Birmingham. Right. So tell us a little bit more about that journey for you.
Yeah, so I like to call myself a multi-passionate writer. And that is very important when it comes to my search for community, because that's one of the reasons why I was having trouble finding a group that I felt like was a right fit. So I found groups that were for like children's book writers and for romance writers, or for Christian writers, but I don't do any of those, but I do a lot of other stuff. So I'm a journalist. I write poetry and I write essays. And I'm a blogger, of course. So I'm a multi-passionate writer. And I couldn't really find a group that was really welcoming to multi-passionate writers, because, you know, I would be in like a group for journalists and they were talking about how bloggers were stupid. And I was like, well, I'm a blogger. And I would be in a blogging group, but they were like, well, we're not writers. We're just bloggers. And I'm like, okay. So I just couldn't find a place where I fit. So that had a lot to do with me needing to start my own community. And you can see it in the community because so many of them are also multi-passionate writers. And I should add that Sojourner Right started as the group for people in Birmingham, but is now for people all over, because we started doing a lot of stuff virtually, even before the pandemic. We started doing a lot of stuff virtually just because so many people outside of Birmingham, outside of the state of Alabama, were finding out about us and wanting to join. And at first I was saying, well, I don't know how you could join because we do everything in person here in Birmingham. But I just got so much of that I was like, okay, I'm going to have to start making a virtual component of this. So all of the paid membership stuff happens online, and even some of the free stuff happens online too. And then I'll occasionally still have some in-person things as well.
Oh, I love that. My brain is firing on all cylinders because you just in each of these, you just speak to so many things. One of them really being like, it's really important to be able to kind of like reach into other markets. I feel like specifically when it comes to writers, because I know that there's a lot of writers that they feel like if they don't live in New York or LA or like, you know, some other like major market, they're kind of really trying to figure it out for themselves, right? And so there's really such a great strength to us being able to create these kind of virtual opportunities to tap into those markets to say, like, even if you're in Greensboro, South Carolina, or wherever the case may be, is it South or North? I always mix them up. Don't judge me, y'all, if I'm getting that wrong. But like, whatever the case may be, if you're in a smaller market, that you can really tap into resources that might not. You know, I feel like there's probably a writing workshop every day in New York. You know what I mean? Whereas like, if you're just in a smaller market, you might not have access to those same tools. I think that's really important. And then I love how you talk about being a multi-passionate writer. I feel like that's such a writerly way to talk about having multiple interests. But it's important because to me, writing is such a transferable skill. It's, you know, to me, when you are good at writing one thing, you can kind of be good at writing a lot of other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess in speaking about some of these like smaller markets and, you know, being able to really open up what you do, and also same here for Permission to Write. Like, we started in Philly. Your girl has moved all the way across the country to LA. And so, you know, we try to be as all encompassing as possible. But maybe talk a little bit about like, what has it been like? It seems like you kind of had interest right away, like developing a writing community in a market like Birmingham. So like, you know, what are the advantages to that? Because again, I felt the same way being in a city like Philadelphia when first starting Permission to Write. And then what do you feel like were some of the challenges, if any?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like they're kind of the same. So what I mean by that is, you know, you mentioned how in New York, there's probably a writing workshop every day. And in Birmingham, at least when I started CJ Knight, Birmingham has really grown and changed tremendously over the past 10 years or so. But in 2011, it wasn't very common for folks to host the kinds of workshops I was doing. And so that was both an advantage and a disadvantage because it was an advantage because it's not like there were, you know, all of these other things vying for the attention of people who might want to come to my stuff, right? But it was a disadvantage because people were kind of like, what is this? You know? So it was kind of the same. Which is weird. It's hard to explain that, but I just kind of felt like the fact that it wasn't common was both working for and against me.
That's so true, and I think the best way to think about it for me, like at least the way I process it, is like being in Philadelphia. Like, so I always use this example. I talk about how like I would, when I lived in Philly, I would like take my tripod outside and I would like take photos, like for whatever, you know, maybe I'm just like doing some editorial stuff for myself just to put on social media or like whatever the case may be. And I would always feel so strange about that, right? Like I would, you know, I feel like my neighbors would be like, what is she doing? You know, like what is happening? And then I talked about how when I moved to LA, I literally will look outside of like my little patio door and see people recording TikTok videos. And I have no like qualms at all about taking my tripod wherever, because in LA, you could be walking down a random street and see people TikToking and doing, you know what I mean? So it's like, to me, it sounds like that thing of like Philadelphia, at least for me, was like a very blue collar town. So where there's a very robust creative community, you can be disillusioned by that because most of the people just go to work and like, you know what I mean? Like, and come home and they're not really trying to like branch out. So it can seem a little bit strange. So I think that's very interesting that it was both kind of like, yes, it stands out because there's none of this happening, but also kind of the questioning of like, okay, like what what is she doing here?
Yeah.
But it all is working out because, you know, I just see, because I feel like I even met like some other members of the CJ Wright community at the same blog. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the same conference, at the same blogging conference. And so I definitely still see them, you know, like following them on social media and all the things that they're doing. So it's so awesome to kind of see how it's grown. At what point do you feel like, well, I guess you kind of already really answered this, but I guess I'll phrase it in a different way. So when you started CJ and Wright, it was because you felt like, okay, I'm looking for community and I need it. But I guess, like, when did it click for you that that was important? Because I'm not sure that I particularly understood, because writing is such a solitary thing, right? It's like you and your laptop. I think it took a while for me to kind of understand how beneficial the community element of it was going to be. And that kind of started in the blogging era, because there were so many of us kind of writing our personal stories and community kind of developed naturally. So, like, you know, was it the same time as starting CJ and Wright that you realized it was an important part of writing? Or did it come sometime before that when you were like, oh, I got to be writing this stuff, but I also need like other people who understand what I'm doing?
Yeah, I mean, community has always been very important to me, but I guess, and I was thinking about this, like whether or not, because like I said, community has always been important to me, but I don't know that I had made that connection between community and writing. Well, that's not true. I think the first time I made the connection between community and writing was actually in graduate school. So I went to Berkeley for grad school and I studied journalism, and I had like my little clique of friends there, but I also became a part of a program called Poetry for the People, which was started by June Jordan. And that community was very life-changing. And that, I feel like, was the first time I really saw the power of community and how it can bolster your writing. Because I was dealing with a lot of imposter syndrome in the journalism school because there weren't very many Black students. I was the absolute youngest person in the entire school. And so I think I was the only person from the Deep South as well. So I was treated like I was stupid, frankly, by many, many people in the school. And so the community that I found within Poetry for the People, they really boosted my self-esteem because I would pour out all of my emotions in my poetry, and I would have all of these people saying, oh my gosh, this is amazing, you know? And so I think that would be the first time that I really saw how community is important, not just for everyday life, but specifically for writing.
Oh, that's so, first of all, like, oh, I just hate that. Like, I had a supervisor who was from Nashville, and it was so funny to me, like when she came up to Philly and she was like talking about just that thing. She's like, you know, because people don't think Southerners are smart. And I was like, where did we get that from? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where I, you know, it's just so, it's just so, one, just disheartening to kind of hear that element of things. But you remind me really of like the element of having a class in school, like same to your point in college, called Poetry as Performance. And I guess what I saw taking place there was literally just this element of being able to share vulnerably and the connection that that kind of made, and like everybody kind of doing the same thing, like we're all writing this poetry, but we're also really challenging ourselves to kind of like go deep and like really kind of bring things to the surface. And like when we ended that class, like we felt like family, you know? And so I think that kind of like one just speaks to, I guess, just like the intimacy of like the community that comes into writing when you're able to kind of do it with other people, kind of in addition to how it maybe makes you like a better writer. Like, you know what I mean? But I think that's so powerful about like just these experiences that could also just even like help you fit in, help you feel more comfortable, help you feel like, you know, what you do matters. It's so important. And then one other more superficial way that I found out community was important was working on my first book and trying to figure out who I could get to blurb it. I was like, oh man, I was like, I don't know either people who write books. That was kind of like such a funny thing, which I of course had like a great community of writers in general, but to your point, very multi-passionate. So at the time, a lot of them weren't like publishing books. So I just was like, I don't know who to ask for this. So I should probably, you know, venture out and make a little bit more of that community. But I love that. So, you know, this work of like creating community also comes with your own work as a writer. So how do you really work to balance that? Because like you said, right now, CJ Wright is a full-fledged business. You're coaching, you're running, you know, you're building content for the community. Like you're doing a lot with, you know, what you do, but you have to keep writing too. I mean, I guess you could like just run the community full time. However, I think for most of us, it's like we want to keep writing, right? Like it's just kind of like a subset of what we do. So how are you balancing that?
I don't. So that's the short answer. You know, there's a member in our community who used to say about me, you know, that phrase, the cobbler's children have no shoes. Mm-hmm. She used to say that that was me because I was, because I didn't publish my first book until last year. And I had helped, you know, dozens of other people publish books, but I hadn't published my own because I didn't have time to. I mean, obviously, I write constantly because I'm a full-time freelance writer. Mm-hmm. So I see, you know, my byline in publications all the time. But as far as writing and publishing a book, I had not done that until last year. And part of it was because I was too busy helping everybody else with their book. And even now, as I am working on my second book, I'm also kind of torn because the women of my community really want an anthology, a CJ Wright anthology. And so I feel like I need to work on that. But then I also want to work on my book. And so I'm kind of torn. So I'm still very much figuring out how to balance the two.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, for me, I feel like some of it has been like trying to create things that I can also take advantage of. So we do like a weekly power hour. We do two now on Mondays and Fridays, but it's an hour to focus on writing. And so literally I use that time for me, like I'm running it, but I'm also like making sure that I'm using the dedicated time to actually like produce something. And I have ventured into hiring help. So I have a part-time assistant.
That's what I need to do. I know that that's what I need to do. Cause we have the same as you, your power hour. we have one too. But I'm usually using that time to either work on freelance content or content for CJ Wright. You know, it's very rare that I'm using that time to work on a personal project. So,
Now, I mean, you know, one thing that we always talk about within this community is like that there's no such thing as balance every day, if that makes sense. So you're not always going to get to write and do something great for the community each day, right? But balance, you know, really is, well, you know, I did some great things for the community Monday and Tuesday. And then like Wednesday, I focused on my writing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So I think that's such an important part to kind of remember when we think about balance, is kind of like, you know, just knowing that everything kind of has to like be flexible. And you know, when CJ and Wright needs more attention, then we give it, right? And then like when the writing kind of needs more attention, then we hopefully give it too. So it's tricky. Tricky. I work all the time. I tell people that all the time. They're like, how do you balance it? I'm like, I work all the time. Like, do not think that it's some like beautiful, you know, thing. It's like, no, it's working all the time.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about tangible ways for sure that the community has helped. But what do you feel like have been some really bright spots from running the community over the years? I mean, I'm already hearing like, I feel like the greatest thing is like seeing other people's like finished products. So you talk about like helping other people publish books and such, but what have been some of those other like really bright spots you feel over the years for your community?
Yeah. So of course it's been, you know, when someone has a book coming out, there's a member who quit her job to be a full-time freelancer. You know, that was really exciting, but really it's the little moments. So we have a monthly critique session where you can get feedback on your work, and, you know, folks will just bond over the pieces that are being shared. And they're usually lots of tears and lots of laughter, all in the same hour. And, you know, we had a poetry writing workshop just this week. And just the bonding that I saw happening there is people were being very vulnerable and sharing things, and people were really touched by it and just kind of gushing over each other. And that was boosting people's self-esteem, their confidence in their writing. You know, it's just those little moments in the regular things that we have that are really the brightest spots for me.
Oh, that's so great. I had a first 10 pages class that turned into a monthly critique group. And I was like, how did this happen? I'm like, this was supposed to be 3 weeks. One and done. But I, you know, I think so many people are like craving these opportunities to connect. And I think like, especially coming out of the pandemic, I think like that was just did such a number on so many people. And so I think like a lot of us are maybe a little bit more open to points of connection than we ever were before. So it's just been like really cool to see. And like you said, there's the top moments, but then there's also just, you know, for me, I find that I really come alive when I get to talk about like writing. I was at the LA Times Festival of Books last weekend, and my husband,
I saw it on your social.
Yeah. And my husband was like, that is like the most like yourself I've seen you. Cause like, you know, most people know in my community, like that I also work in music. And so he was just like, there's something different that happens when you're around like book people. And I'm like, yes, it does. You know, it just opens worlds up. So I love that.
Yeah. I wore my Whitney Houston t-shirt and these earrings because I know you work in music.
Okay. First of all, this is hilarious because Whitney is on my shirt too.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That's insane. We both have on Whitney Houston shirts. I love that. That is so random. Or should I say serendipitous? Because that is, you know, that is too cute. So yes, we are both feeling our very Whitney vibes. And I love those earrings too.
Thank you.
How do you feel like, you know, because I feel like community is great for like the sake of community, right? And just like being around other people. I've also met a really great kind of cohort of writers out here in LA, and it's nourishing, you know, to say the least. But, you know, how do you feel like we can better utilize our collective power to shift the writing and publishing industry? So a lot of us are building community and, you know, and really powerful ones, like even like Well Read Black Girl, and you know, just a lot of different kind of communities. But like, what, if anything, do you feel like, you know, we can really do to continue to shift the needle? Because I think a lot of us kind of like saw the needle shift in 2020. I can't tell you how many of us got book deals. In 2020.
Know, like, so many people got book deals.
Okay, like me included. Okay, but I'm like, y'all shouldn't have never let me in. It's cool, even if it was a diversity hire. But you know, do you feel like there's ways we can be utilizing our collective power to really kind of shift industries?
I think it's, you know, what you just said, you were like, oh, y'all should have never let me in. I think like once you get in, it's about being that person that's trying to let everybody else in too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even see that in the journalism world, because I, you know, when you were talking about like tangible ways that community has helped, I get so many opportunities to write for different media outlets because of somebody saying my name in rooms that I'm not in, right? And then I pay it forward, because fortunately I'm at the point in my freelance career where I don't have to do a lot of pitching, because I get a lot of work just coming to me. And sometimes I get too much work coming to me. And so I get things that I just don't have the bandwidth to do. And that gives me the opportunity to pay it forward, because I can say, oh, well, I can't do this, but I know someone who would be great for this. And so I think we just, whether we're talking about journalism or book publishing or whatever, we've just got to keep that attitude of, you know, once you get in the door, you got to hold it open for everybody else. Like, don't close the door and be like, oh, too bad, sorry, I didn't make it. Like, no, that's not what we're doing here. You got to let everybody else in.
Right. No, I think you're so right. Because I, you know, I certainly feel like that. Like, even, you know, one, I, you know, even this conversation, it's like we both run writing communities, but I think it's great, because I think it's like room for everybody. And I think sometimes we like get very scarce about things and think there's only one opportunity. And I don't fault us, because I feel like a lot of society tries to like sell that message. And we have to like combat it. But the truth is that there is room for everybody. And just because, you know, you get an opportunity doesn't, and then you help other people, like, doesn't take away from your opportunity. It actually just makes it so much more expansive, kind of like you're talking about. Like, I'm writing every week about what I'm learning about publishing in our weekly newsletter, you know. I mean, we cover other topics too. We also like highlight the multi-passionates. However, you know, a lot of just going through this publishing process, there was just like so much I didn't know. You know what I mean? It's like, you kind of get a lot of information about getting an agent, but then like, that's kind of where it stops.
Right. It's like, okay, I got an agent. Now what?
Yes, exactly. So I'm just an open book, because I just think it's so powerful to be able to like share information, especially because it's not always like readily available specifically to like marginalized communities. So I think it's so, so important. And I'm thinking about like, you know, other ways that I've seen just collective powers, like, even, you know, people being able to get their own imprints. And then now, like, you know, you're able to like help other writers get in good editing positions. Like you said, passing along work, like all those are just like putting money in people's pockets.
Yes, absolutely.
The best thing. So this is a good one, I feel like, and then we'll jump into some of our wrapping segments, but I wanted to, you know, get your input on like advice you have to offer other writers about making genuine connections and maximizing community. Because I feel like networking is a tricky word. And even in my own journey, I've had to kind of learn what that really means. And so I just wanted to kind of pose that question of like, you know, what input do you feel like you have for maximizing community and connecting in genuine ways?
So one thing that I always tell folks, because people ask me this question a lot, because I build community. I'm considered the networking queen. So people ask me this question a lot. And one of the things that I always say is that you need to stay focused on what you can give as opposed to what you can get. I feel like so often we go into situations where we're meeting somebody and we're like, ooh, can this person hook me up with this? And can they help me do this? No, like, don't go into it like that. Go, when you meet somebody, you should be listening to them, trying to figure out how you can help them. Because what I have learned is that when you help other people, you're indirectly helping yourself. Because what's going to happen is that person is going to be very grateful for the help, and then they are going to help you in some way. Or even if they don't, even if that person is selfish, right? And they don't help you at all, they're still going to talk about you to somebody. And so that somebody may be the person that helps you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that, and that creates a genuine connection when you are just really just listening to somebody to figure out what you can do to help them, figure out what they're passionate about, what they're trying to do, and figure out how you can help them. And it may be something huge, like maybe you can help them make this huge connection that's going to be a game changer for them. Or it could be something small, like maybe there's an article that you read that you think they would really like. You could just go home and email them that article. It could be huge, small, in between, but just really focus on how you can help that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also add to, you know, talking about the idea of competition, I always urge people to, whenever like you start feeling jealous of someone because of something that they've achieved, that, you know, recognize that that's how you feel, like recognize it, acknowledge it, but then shift that feeling and turn it into encouragement and turn it into excitement. Because when you see them do that, that is a message to you that of what's possible. Like they're showing you what's possible. So instead of like sitting there like gritting on them and you know, hating, like celebrate them, congratulate them, and just remember like they are showing you what's possible. So if you are jealous, that means that you want to do something like that. So figure it out and do something like that instead of just hating on them. Figure out how you can do it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much to study, you know, so if somebody is where you might want to be or has some of the things to what you want to achieve, then you can kind of like reverse engineer essentially certain things of how they got there. Everybody's journey won't be the same, you know, right. But you can take certain elements that work for you. But I love that you talked about like being able to acknowledge it, because it's like, it's real. You know, most of us have experienced at some point or another that little ping. You know, I feel like it's gotten better for me. Like the more I've gotten comfortable with myself as a writer, I think the less that has happened for me.
Yeah.
But occasionally, you know, you're still just like, oh man, I got the such and such, like, you know, but it only, you know, it only lasts for a moment, because I am a person who just like genuinely tends to be happy for other people, yeah. Which I feel like, yeah, is like works on my side. But the only thing I'll add, I guess, to that, because I love those, and my husband talks about that all the time, like, what is the value that you're adding to someone else? So, you know, I'm a big fan of that. And then also, I think one of the keys I learned about networking is how long it takes.
Mm, yeah.
So sometimes we think about networking only as going to the event, meeting the people and having an instantaneous connection, right?
No, that's
and,
not.
You know, we kick this podcast off by saying, like, I met Jamaica at Blogalicious years ago, right? But it's like, you know, you just sometimes you're just working, your head's down, and then you look up and you're like, oh, I would love to like connect with Javasia on this. But like, it's just been like years and years of, you know, this like through social and through different things, like kind of building different relationships, like, and some of them aren't always like in person, you know what I mean? Like, I have so many great like social media relationships that I've built over the years. One, just by supporting people's work, like, you know what I mean? I always think about like Gigi Renee, who runs like all the Many Layers. And I literally just started as a fan of her work. Like, you know what I mean? And now over the years, like, we've done joint courses together. She's guest posted on my stuff. I've guest done stuff on hers. But like, you really, a lot of times, can't cheat the time that it takes. Yeah. And for impatient people like me, that was that didn't click for me at first. But now I'm understanding, like, oh, building valuable relationships can take years.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to remind myself of that too. And not even because like, oh, I want to get something from this person, but right. I completely fangirl out over most women. Like, I'm obsessed with women. I mean, most people know that about me. I think women are just amazing. Yeah. And so I will completely fangirl out over somebody. And so when I finally meet them in person, I want us to just be friends, like, instantly. I have to remind myself that that's not how it works.
Right. It takes time. It takes so much time. And I know one thing for me, too, is like, I get nervous about asking people stuff. So I tend to think like, oh, they're going to be too busy, or like, you know, I'm kind of always combating like, permission to write isn't like big enough for me to ask people to like do things, you know? And so sometimes I have to just like get over myself and like ask. Like, I'm pretty sure it like took me a second to like actually DM you, because I just feel like I always get really nervous of like asking people to do things with permission to write. I don't know what that is, but I mean, it's a little bit of imposter syndrome in there. I'm like, oh, we're not this super huge community. And so I think like, I also want to encourage people, like, don't be afraid to like shoot your shot. You know, sometimes people might not have the time, or they might be, you know, a little bit too big for whatever you're asking them to do. Right. And that happens, and that's okay. But last year and this year, I really focused on kind of like just asking, and it's been so great. Like, the results have been great. Like, most people are like, yeah, I totally think you would do it, you know, but I kind of was like telling myself no beforehand. So I love those kind of those notes on, yeah, just networking. And of course, it goes without being said that you should also look into these communities, because they're great. So, you know, how can folks that might be interested in the community kind of like plug into what you're doing at CJ, right?
Yeah. So our website is cjanewrightbeham.com. Now, again, you don't have to be in Beham. It's just that's how it started. So that's why that's in our URL. But cjanewright, and you can, oh, wait, it's, I don't know if everybody can see. I know some people might be listening, but I'm sure it'll be in the show notes. So cjanewrightbeham.com is our website. We're on Facebook, so we have a free Facebook community. If you just search CJ and Wright Network, you'll find that. And of course, if you're on the gram, you can follow me, and I'm at C Gervasia Wright on Instagram.
Awesome. I love it. So we're not quite done yet, but I just wanted to make sure to get that in. So we have like two small segments that we will wrap with. And so there's one that I told you about, and then there's one that I haven't told you about, but it's really easy. So we're going to start with that one. It's called Writing Cliches. And so this is simply a yay or a nay. I am going to give you a couple writing cliches, and I just want to know, like, how do you feel about them as a writer, whether it's a yay or a nay?
You mean as in, would I do it, or do I like work that does it, or...
So, yeah, like, I mean, I guess, like, yeah, would you do it? Like, what are you a fan of? So I'll give you an example. So the first one is, like, write every day. That is, like, a writing cliche. Yeah. Is it a yay or a nay to writing every day?
Yay.
Awesome. Okay, write drunk, edit sober.
I'm going to say nay, but that's just because I gave up alcohol in 2020.
love it. I'm more of a tea drinker myself. Like, I tend to like tea to write, not really alcohol, but, you know, to each his own. You cannot draft and edit at the same time.
Oh, yay. Definitely agree with that.
Love it. Show, don't tell.
I'm kind of in the middle because I'm a journalist. And so you have to show and tell because you have to get to the point faster than you have to in like a novel. Mm-hmm. So I always say show and tell.
Love it. Love it. Kill Your Darlings.
Yay. My love is so hard. It's so hard.
It's hard. But I think the book process helped me learn the importance of that. I think I was still holding on to my darlings, like with my journalism writing. But book writing was like, okay, I get it. We need to kill some of those darlings. Oxford comma.
Oh, so because I'm a journalist, you know, we don't use it in journalism. And so I'm going to have to go with nay.
Nay on the Oxford comma. I feel like that is the most polarizing one, the Oxford comma.
It really is. And I see both sides of it, but I'm a journalist. So I'm a journalist.
Love it. Well, yeah, so that's it. That is our writing cliches segment. You did great. I know it always makes people nervous. They're like, wait, what?
I know, what's happening?
But I feel like it's pretty easy to get through. But this one we like to have folks think about because I understand how hard it is to like think of, you know, writers you admire on the spot. It could be a little bit difficult because all of a sudden you're just like, the only writer I know is Maya Angelou, you know? So this last segment is called The Canon, right? And so really we just want to ask all of our guests to highlight writers that they admire in these specific areas, right? So we have three areas, and yeah, we just want to hear a little bit about a writer in this specific area that you might admire. So being the millennial that I am, we start with online or public persona, because I know like writers back in the day are like, what, social media? But yes, a writer who's online or public persona that you admire.
Yes. So for this one, I'm going to say Ashley Jones, who you may or may not know who she is, but she is the poet laureate for the state of Alabama. She got a lot of national and even international attention because of that, because she is the youngest poet laureate and the first Black poet laureate of Alabama. She is a friend of mine. We were also colleagues. I used to be a teacher and we taught at the same school. But you know, even if I didn't know her, I would still put her as my answer. She's an amazing poet, just amazing. But she also, I love her social media. She's quite the fashionista. And so she will post photos of her outfits, but you know, always has something of substance to say in the captions. So it's just, I just love it. I'm a huge fan of it. So
very cool. Ashley Jones. I'll have to check it out. Little name twin there. I gotta check it out. How about writing voice?
So for writing voice, I'm going to go with Nikki Giovanni. I love, 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 love Nikki Giovanni. I've had the pleasure and honor of meeting her twice. One of those times I got to actually just like hang out and talk to her, which was amazing. But I love her writing voice because it feels like when I read her work, I feel like she's sitting there talking to me because of the way she writes. And it's just, you know, I fell in love with her poetry when I was very, very young because I remember I read a poem and it articulated a feeling that I was having that I couldn't put words to because I was young. And when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, this is exactly how I feel. And so I've just been in love with her poetry ever since then. I had one of her poems read at my wedding. I'm just a huge Nikki Giovanni fan.
And her writing is so special, but even her, the way she delivers her poetry is, I love listening to her read her own poetry, in addition to it just being so well written. I love Nikki Giovanni. How about Command of Language?
For Command of Language, I am going to go with Warsan Shire. Because whenever I'm reading any of her work, I will just, my husband knows when I'm reading her work, because I'll read something and I'll just be like, right? Because it'll just be so good, like how she's put something together. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So she's just, like her Command of Language is just mind blowing to me.
Ah, well, there we have it. That is Gervasia's canon of writers. Yeah. I love doing this segment because if there's any writers that you haven't heard of, you need to go find them. I've been in such a space of like not only writing, but just being such a student and a fan of like the written word. And I just think those things go so hand in hand. So we love to highlight different writers because everybody's is different. And it also gives listeners just the opportunity to check out something new. So thank you so much for joining me today to talk about community. I just adore everything that you're doing. Just in that symbiotic way, like we say, whatever you need from us, you know, you just keep us posted and let us know because we want to add value.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And if I can, I do want to add that I have a new podcast.
Yes.
So if you love to journal, or even if you have gotten out of the practice or you're thinking about getting into the practice, you want to check out my new podcast. It's called The Righteous Babe Podcast. And righteous is spelled W-R-I-T-O-U-S, because when you're a writer, you get to make up words. So I'm also on social. So you can find Righteous Babe on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But I call it the grown woman's guide to journaling, because this isn't the Dear Diary kind of journaling that you did as a kid. It's more so about the transformative power of journaling. So check it out on Apple, Spotify, Podbean. So check it out.
I love it. We'll definitely link to it in the show notes to make it as easy as possible for y'all. And so I'm glad you remember that, because I'm like, that was part of the whole thing. It was like, I saw you starting a new podcast. So yes, absolutely. Be sure to check it out. I love that because I'm a big journaler too, just for sanity's sake. I need to kind of write everything that's happening in this brain of mine. But make sure you all check it out. Like I said, I will link out to all Gervasia's wonderful things. So be sure to support everything that she has going on. So thank you so much for listening, y'all. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to PTW Office Hours. We hope you got something out of the conversation. You can follow us on Instagram at Permission to Write, on Twitter at Perm to Write, and stay up to date through our website, permissiontowrite.com. Join our community that works to amplify and cultivate the voices of Black writers and writers of color.